Yeah, tonight, by the way, the unofficial start of basketball season. What a way to kick it off.
Yeah.
Or tip
Pistons,
it off.
Knicks.
Yeah, you get 1-2 in the East. Mm-hmm. And it's not like our college hoops teams are struggling. So
no.
Good time to get back into hoops, and we will be doing more of that as we break down the Lions offseason in tandem. Lions offseason officially starts today. 248-539-9797. Couple questions we've got in the mix. Number one, what's the number one reason this team missed the playoffs? And John, the second question, as you watched them beat the Chicago Bears in week 18, what did it leave you feeling? Were you happy because they won? Were you angry because, of course, now they play like that? Were you left empty? You didn't really attach much emotion to that game. How did that win leave you feeling? 248-539-9797. Let's start with you, John. You played, you know the emotions of this game. How did it leave you feeling?
Frustrating, because you saw what they could be, what they could do. And you saw it in the first matchup, week two, against the Bears, where they put 52 on them. Now, okay, that one was at home, and we all thought, oh, the Bears are just lowly Bears. Well, the Bears ended up winning the division, and so you swept the Bears. That's great. And then you go to Baltimore in week three. There was, and I talk about pressure, because there was no pressure on the Lions yesterday. Sure, they wanted to get to a winning record. That's always better than, you know, 9-8 is still better than 8-9, but there was nothing riding on the game. If they lost, you didn't lose a playoff spot. If you won, you weren't going to earn a playoff spot. And so there was no pressure to see guys go out there and play that way. We haven't seen them do that since the beginning of the season, because anytime there was pressure, and it was, you know, hey, Tampa at the beginning of the year,
yeah,
they played good under pressure, because Tampa at that time was, they were in the John Jansen power surge. They everybody thought that they, Baker Mayfield, they've got things humming along. Now, in the end, they weren't a great team. Same with Baltimore. Cincinnati, there was no Joe Burrow. Cleveland was
Cleveland.
But then you lose to Minnesota, and you start the every other week deal where it's Washington. Dan starts taking over the plays, but hey, it's there's no Daniels. There's, you know, they were falling apart. New York, it took into overtime, but you lost to Philly, you lost to Green Bay, you lost to L.A. And then when they're playing L.A., like the Dallas game, we thought if they could just go 4-1, and we had earmarked that game against the Rams as their one loss. But then there was some pressure against Pittsburgh, and they laid an egg. Yeah. There was pressure against Minnesota, even though Minnesota wasn't a good team, and they laid an egg.
Pressure is a good word, because they couldn't handle like actual like pressure from defensive fronts, but they also just didn't handle pressurized spots this season.
Right. Against good teams, you came up small.
Yeah. So look, we could trace where did it all start. Week one was a bad omen, and we quickly wrote it off because they won the next four football games, including at the time, it felt like a great win in Baltimore. But John, I mean, they failed to string together consecutive wins the second half of the season. So you could pick any of those junctures. Like they lose to Philly, but you thought, oh, okay, well, Dan's taking over the play calling against the Commanders. You know, I look at that Giants game. They won the game, but there was a lot of ugly things starting to really take foothold. That defense gave up over 500 yards. They went to OT with a bad Giants team. And then, yeah, Pittsburgh and Minnesota and the nails in the coffin at the end of the season. It's why I was left feeling kind of empty, kind of hollow. That win felt hollow to me, because, John, it didn't achieve anything. It didn't prove that they were a tough, gritty football team. The time to do that was weeks before.
Yeah, Pittsburgh and Minnesota.
It didn't prove that they're... Look, I'd love to say they're better than the Bears because we're 2-0, but they're still playing. Like, it didn't give us some great satisfaction that we got to rub Ben Johnson's face in it, because his team's playing still.
Right.
They have the crown that used to sit atop our heads as back-to-back kings in the North. No, I felt hollow. I felt like, wow, now we're going to mix in some zone. Wait, now we're going to win the line of scrimmage. Like, it felt empty.
Well, and to go back and look, and this is why I say you play the season out, because anything can happen. All right, the Packers completely fell apart, and we thought you were going to have to go 4-1. What we didn't know at the time was really all you needed to do was go 3-2.
Yeah.
And if you had just maintained the same pace, win, lose, win, lose, if you beat Dallas, lost to the Rams, but then beat Pittsburgh, lost to Minnesota, and beat the Bears, you'd have been in.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to shame anybody that felt good about that win. Sports are supposed to be fun. If that was a fun day for you watching your team beat a division rival, good. Sports are supposed to be fun. I just didn't enjoy it. I didn't get the warm, fuzzy feeling from winning that football game. And it's why going in, I found myself rooting for 2026. I wanted a couple extra spots up in the draft to give Brad a boost. Last couple drafts haven't been very good. Loss would have been more tangibly helpful for this football team than, hey, a win feels good. But even that win didn't feel good, at least to me.
Well, I will always say this, no matter what's at stake, winning is better than losing. And I knew while watching that game, if they won, you were gonna come in and say, oh, well, they lost draft spots, five draft picks. I understand that. I'll just never be able to support that idea of going into it saying, I'd rather lose and get the draft pick versus win. Winning to me is always better.
And I get where you're coming from. This is an oil and water situation. I want to be very clear. Dan Campbell and the players should never let their foot off the gas. You never want to turn the faucet off of competitive juices, right? I love that the guys who suited up played hard. I think that's a non-negotiable, and I get that. I would never ask them to lay down or lose. But I didn't wear the helmet. I wasn't playing or coaching in that football game. As a fan, I'm most interested in the 2026 Lions. The 25 Lions let me down. Their season was over. I wanted to give them all the tools in their disposal to be the best version of themselves next year. That's why that last play schedule is meaningful. It's why being a couple spots ahead in the draft would be helpful. They got half of the equation. They're going to have a last play schedule. They didn't move up in the draft. I'm not mad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be mad that they won.
It was a sour win because you knew as the rest of the teams played out their schedule, what the possibilities could have been if you had just found a way to beat Pittsburgh or Minnesota. Two teams that I felt going into those games, and I still feel, even though you lost twice to Minnesota, that if you played a third time, you'd win that game. And you're the first one. Hey, they went head to head. They televised it. They lost.
I know.
Why would I anticipate that? I still think they're a better team than Minnesota.
Well, they should have beat Brosmer. They should have beat a team that threw for 3 yards. Gosh, so frustrating. Let's get to Charlie. You're next up. You're in Armada. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Real quick, I want to say I'm in high school. I play O-line. I watched the old Michigan games. John Jansen, I love how you played.
Thanks, man.
I think the O-line, I don't think they're not even physical enough, but I don't think they communicate well enough, and they're not smart enough to pick up blocks. And Gibbs just ends up getting killed in the backfield every time. And I hope we can get the guy from Bama or even the guy from Iowa, because I just don't think they are very, very smart. So, like you guys said, I was hoping – I'm glad they won, but I'm also not, because I don't know – if Caden Proctor will go that low to 17.
Right.
And I just wanted to get a better line, especially with Decker retiring probably.
Well, Charlie, I'm very cautious in saying that they weren't smart enough. Not physical enough, I can say, and not being able to be physical enough or physically able to get to some of those blocks in the run game, I can admit that. But I don't necessarily think that they didn't know who to block. Or they couldn't pick up the blitzers. I just don't think that they were able to get into position.
John, he played the game. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. No, there were a lot of times.
Okay, I should smarm alarm myself. I'm proud of that, but I'm also not proud of that. That was bad. Sorry.
There were a lot of times where even if you know who to block and you see it, if you can't get into position, it doesn't matter what you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I to be serious about this, I don't know that I would criticize the intelligence of the offensive line. They didn't get where they needed to get. And maybe they aren't good enough football players.
Well, that's what I'm going to is I don't think Cologne is a guy that you're going to sit there and say, yeah, he's going to make all the same blocks that Kevin Zeitler did last year.
No.
Or even that if Mahogany was healthy, that Mahogany may have been able to make. And I think Mahogany wasn't able to get to some of those blocks.
Yeah, think about it. With the left guard, some of the injuries and the inexperience, that was a downgrade. Center, right? Frank Ragnow to anybody was going to be a downgrade. Zeitler at right guard to a rookie in Ratledge, who played fine enough, was still a downgrade. When you downgrade the three interior spots for this season, this was always going to be an uphill battle and an uphill fight. And John, with Glasgow, they tried to replace him a couple times. There was an initial thought that Ratliff could play center. They quickly scrapped that. Ragnow might come back. No, he's not.
Yeah.
Kingsley's getting starts in critical games over a healthy Graham. Like,
and I'm not going to sit there, and again, I'll go back to that last caller. I'm not going to criticize Graham's knowledge of the game or identifying linebackers or picking them up. Where I would criticize him is he's old and just physically couldn't get there. Like, I hate to say that just because I think we've had a chance to get to know Graham in some of the interviews.
Yeah.
I just think that he is at the point of his career where he can't physically make some of those blocks. I got to that point where I couldn't physically make some of those blocks. It didn't have anything to do with me knowing that they were coming. I just couldn't get there.
He also said something in that phone call that we could talk about on the other side. He said, with Taylor Decker likely retiring. I want to be very clear. Nothing's likely there. But he spoke openly and emotionally after the game. And it's certainly a possibility that Taylor Decker retires. We've got some audio from Taylor Decker. We'll play that coming up next. We want more of your feedback. That win, I think, John, you described it as a sour feeling. I think sour is a really good way of describing it. What emotion did you have when the clock struck zero? It's 97.1.
At First Merchants Bank, they believe that the real value comes from building strong communities and strong relationships. With their new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. Their easy-to-use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking a breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go, and that's an app that I use nearly every single day. Their local attentive bankers are your partners in success. They're going to take the time to get to know you, give sound advice, and provide solutions that work for you. In fact, it's exactly what they've done for me and my family over the years, so obviously they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your financial journey. All you have to do is visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
We have some Taylor Decker audio. He was emotional after the Lions game yesterday. Two clips, both from Colton Pouncey of The Athletic. Let's play those for people. And John, I especially want to get your reaction as a player contemplates the end of their career. Mm-hmm. Taylor Decker cut one. And he went on to talk about what it does to his family and what he's contemplating.
Well, so the first thing I would tell him is when he said it was selfish of me to take care of myself the way I need. No, it's not. It is absolutely not. You got a very high paying job and that's what you got to do. There's a lot of people that make sacrifices in family time that are just different, right? Some people have to travel for business or they've got to be able to do work at home and you miss a lot of that time with your family, but you're doing it to provide for your family. So it's not selfish by any means. And the one thing I would tell him is just because you're not playing doesn't mean you're not going to go through all of those things. They will get better over time to a point, even to this day. Like there are still things that I have to do because of my playing days that take away time or take away, things I can't do with my kids simply because I played the game of football and I'm okay with that. And eventually he'll be okay with that as well. The thing is, does he want to go through all of the discomfort of playing the game, of playing in practice, of doing those things for 6 months versus, and getting paid handsomely for it versus stepping away, still having to do a lot of those things and then not getting paid for it? And trust me, there is a huge stress where it goes throughout the course of your career. It'll go from, hey, I'm playing a game. This is awesome. To this is actually work and a job. And when things flip from this is fun, I'm playing a sport, I'm getting paid a lot of money for it, to this is a full-time job, not just when I'm at the building, but for 12 months out of the year, there is a huge emotional stress that goes along with that. And you do start to think about what's the quality of life that I'll have when I'm 50 or when I'm 60, and hopefully we all get there.
Yep. So I guess the next thought would be, how common is this for guys? Do they talk about this? The fact that he's discussing this, is this normal, or does this push you towards thinking he's retiring?
Oh, this is all, to me, it's very normal. The way it sounds like he, you know, like if you're going to plant your flag, it would be on this day, 51 that he's retiring, mm-hmm. 49 that he comes back. And those percentages will change. It may be in a week's time when he still feels this way, or 2 weeks' time, or a month's time, and he's like, I'm not recovering the way I used to when I was 21. Like, you have to get used to that. You're not going to. All right? And it's going to be a roller coaster. We saw it with Frank.
Yes.
And hopefully the Lions have learned some lessons as a franchise in regards to, would they rather have Taylor Decker as a part of this team? Probably. But at what cost? And if the cost is going to be, hey, we're not going to take a tackle in the draft because we believe we have Taylor Decker, and then all of a sudden, hey, sometime in July, he decides, I just can't go to training camp.
That's the other question, is how do the Lions best approach this? The decision from Taylor, respect it, he wants to take some time, doesn't want to make an emotional decision. It needs to be made before free agency in the draft, out of respect for the team, right?
No.
And if he doesn't, though, then the team needs to plan like he's not going to be there to learn the lesson from Frank.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, and whether he's back or not, he's not going to be here for another 5 years.
Yeah, be a step ahead instead of a step behind. Even right. If Decker plays this year, take a tackle. Now, it might not be a first-round tackle if he's playing next season, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of really good tackles that are taken in the second round.
But tackles should be addressed this year regardless, so you're a step ahead. Because they were a step behind with Frank Ragnow.
Well, and what did we say about Frank? We said, even going into before he announced his retirement, do we think Frank Ragnow is going to be able to play 17 games? No. Do we think Taylor Decker is going to be able to play 17 games? If he does, great. But you have to plan as he's not. And Dan Skipper, going into this year, that was not your answer.
I think we got to the meat of that. Just the takeaway from me sitting here listening to it is, you don't think he has to make a decision by free agency, but the Lions have to make the decision to take a tackle regardless.
By the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, free agency is going to start like the 1st of March.
Yeah.
And do I think he's going to be in a position to say, I'm 100% in or I'm 100% out at that point? No, I don't think so. And I don't think he should be forced to make that decision unless the Lions say, we either need to know, or hey, we're gonna make you a June 1st cut,
right?
Like that's a possibility,
especially as the cap crunch is on for this team. John, they could free up a ton of space with a restructure of Goff. If Graham is cut or retires, if Decker is cut or retires, if they restructure St. Brown, they could free up a bleep ton of space. But they need to have an idea of what they're working with.
And as a franchise, and here's the hard truth of it is, most guys don't go out on their own terms. Most guys are eventually cut, or they're traded, or something happens to where the franchise makes the decision for you.
All right, we got overreact, Jims, but first, Heather with the news.
So Joe Buck was actually hiding a secret during Saturday's ESPN broadcast of the Seahawks versus Niners game. So while he looked camera ready, he did reveal after the game that he was hiding a massive black eye.
Oh.
Yeah. So he apparently sustained the injury while he was trying to break up a fight between his 7-year-old twins. Took a knee right to the eye.
Oh, boy.
He did share on social media a before and after photo, so you could see the black eye that he had. He thanked his makeup artist for doing such a great job so that nobody actually knew on air that he was suffering from a shiner there.
I've taken one of those from Teddy before.
Oh, yeah?
Like, he's going one way, I'm going another, and, like, he throws his head back and hits me in the nose with the back of his head.
The nose. The head to the nose is the worst. It's happened. I mean, it used to happen even, like, when they were really little.
Oh, sure.
Oh man, I get it. I totally get it. A Livonia man has been charged after prosecutors say that he shot a father and son outside of a Garden City karaoke bar on New Year's Day. Brian Lindsay was arraigned on Sunday on multiple charges, including two counts of assault with intent to murder. Police say they were called to Rockstar's bar right around 4 a.m. on January 1st. And when they got there, they found a 55-year-old man and his 22-year-old son bleeding on the ground. They were taken to the hospital. They remain in critical condition. Investigators say a physical altercation led to the shooting. The suspect, Lindsay, was given a $1 million bond and will be in court on January 12th. You might remember this. About a year ago, the Home Bakery in Rochester went viral for making a life-size cake of Amon-Ra St. Brown and his legendary headstand touchdown celebration. Well, the bakery is back at it, teasing another Lions
celebration.
Cake. Yes, a Lions celebration
cake.
Oh,
is it the booger flick?
It is not the booger flick, which would have been fun.
Yeah,
imagine like a cake.
Yeah.
They could have, because it's going to be the window display. They could have had like the booger stuck to the window, kind of like trickling down. That would have been good. Maybe not. But
not quite as appetizing.
This time, don't know exactly what it is, but there's a social media post that shows the owner of the bakery, Heather Toko, posing with a kneeling Jahmyr Gibbs. And it looks like
the Superman.
Looks like it's going to be Gibbs and St. Brown, because in another post, they post the video of that such touchdown celebration. And you can also see a foot, which looks like it's a cake foot, which looks like it's St. Brown. So it looks like it's going to be both of them. Life size. Pretty cool. So it said, stay tuned. So
I wonder which slice is the best. I always want the corner slice because it has the most icing.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you slice up that cake?
I think this cake probably wouldn't taste the best. Well, it's all that fondant, you know, because it's not like the buttercream icing. It's more for display, but any piece would be fine.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
I'm back to asking the important questions.
John's got the big important stuff on his mind.
Uh-huh.
All right. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, Overreact Gyms. TJ Lang will join us at 9:02 as we wrap the Lions season. It's 97-1. Life gets busy and it's easy to forget things like that dentist appointment you've been putting off. If you want to start the new year with a brighter smile, now's the time. Brightside Dental is always welcoming new patients, $35 new patient special, and they can see you often same day. 9 offices to choose from in Metro Detroit. Going to the dentist doesn't have to be a pain. 1-800-PAINLESS. Visit brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. TJ Lang in 10 minutes, final time for us this season. TJ in studio on Mondays after Lions games. Lions season's over. Get to the phones, read some more of your texts. Also, shouldn't be under the radar anymore. Unofficial tip-off of basketball season with the Pistons and the Knicks, 1-2 tonight at Little Caesars Arena.
It's a great way to fill that football void. No Monday Night Football. And it's not going to work for everyone around the country, but for a Pistons fans, for Detroit sports fans, lock in.
Yeah, as you turn your attention, and I know a good chunk of tomorrow we'll be reacting to this game, like, this is a great spot for the Pistons. Can't make up for last year in the playoffs, but you can keep winning and legitimize yourself as the number one team in the East. Right? That's what's at stake here.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the things that we have heard throughout the course of the offseason, where, hey, the Pistons obviously lost to the Knicks in the postseason. And it was the audio that you played, you know, that irritated Pistons fans, and rightfully so.
Cute little team.
Yeah, cute little team. Okay. Well, is this the defining moment for this team? No.
No.
But it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun for a game in early January to have a statement like this. Yep. And it's at home.
And it's at home, where the Pistons have played very well this year and the Knicks have not been good on the road. 7-8 away from MSG this season. One quick note, Pistons will be without Jalen Duren and Tobias Harris.
Okay. Hey, they've been without Cade Cunningham. They've been without other key components. They've been without Cade, Jalen, and Jaden Ivey all at the same time and still found a way to win.
tonight, spotlight matchup, 7 o'clock, Pistons and Knicks.
And just in case you're trying to find it on your TV dial, look harder. It's a Peacock game.
Is it really?
Can you still get it on FanDuel? No. I don't think you can. It's a Peacock game.
Peacock only. Like, it's not on NBC?
No, I believe it's a Peacock game.
Okay, well, I'm glad you told everybody now so they can plan accordingly.
I know. I just looked it up. I'm like, wait a second. Yeah, I would have been that guy tomorrow morning trying to find... Wait a second. I know we talked about it. It's the Knicks and Pistons.
I just think it's a great way for us to kick off more of a hoops focus because Michigan and Michigan State are both having great years in college hoops. The Pistons are the number one team in the Eastern Conference. It's a great opportunity tonight to solidify that and continue to plant that flag. So
just to confirm, it is on Peacock because there are ones... When they play Boston on the 19th, that one says NBA, NBC and Peacock. This one's just Peacock, so make sure your subscription is up to date.
Now I'm going to check. I don't think it is on local.
Oh, you don't believe me?
No, but sometimes there's local exceptions. No,
yeah, sometimes I lie.
Damn, he's right, people. All right, let's get back to the phones. 248-539-9797. Drew, we were asking people early in the show about the win and how it had you feeling afterwards. You're on 97.1. Lions beat the Bears, and you felt?
Man, I felt happy, man, but it wasn't because we won. It was because the season was over with, and we could finally move on, man, and hopefully use them draft picks to a good way. And you just cornerback, offensive line, cornerback, man. It's been one of them seasons.
Yeah, I'd probably flip it and say offensive line first, but I guess that's coming from an offensive lineman.
I agree with you, though. That is the identity of this football team. It was when they won the division back-to-back years, and it was sorely missed this season. Mm-hmm. So happy the season's over. Relief? I'm not happy the season's over. The playoffs are starting this week.
Yeah, I'm not happy the season's over. It goes to that, you know, if there was Monday Night Football, I would watch Monday Night Football versus anything in the NBA. And now we got to flip the switch because the Lions are done.
We had grown accustomed to playoff football and looking forward to the playoffs. And in this year, we were just talking about it off air. There's not an overwhelming favorite right now. Look, this current offensive line wasn't going to do much in the postseason, but would I have rather been in to find out? Of course.
But yeah, I mean, would you if you were in and playing the Bears? Having beat them twice, do you think you're going to get to the second round?
The Bears, who were underdogs this week to the Packers, by the way. Yeah, I mean, look, that's...
Would have felt good about that.
Yeah, and who's actually... Who is the team you feel strongest is going to win the Super Bowl? Right now, the market has Seattle as the favorite. Slight favorite with the Rams just behind them.
Okay.
I mean, Seattle's
I can see that.
Seattle has... a damn good defense, and they can run the football. And they just went on the road and beat the Niners, and that's all well and good. Sam Darnold, though.
Yeah.
Sam Darnold, he missed the throw in the red zone. He had a fumble that they were able to make up for with a Kenneth Walker 19-yard run on 3rd and 17. I still wouldn't feel good about Sam Darnold stacking multiple playoff wins.
No, but he was a quarterback of back-to-back 14-win teams on two different teams.
And how many playoff wins last year?
Well, not many.
So again, this just feels like a wide open year. So I'm not happy the season's done. Maybe there's relief if you were just kind of dreading because the Lions had played so poorly.
Who do you think comes out of the AFC?
I think Denver's the favorite, but...
Well, Denver has the one seed. They're 14-3. New England's 14-3.
If you look at point spread, every game in the AFC playoffs, 3.5 or closer. Expected to be tight games all up and down the AFC card. Is it not the Bills' year, though? Is this not the year for Josh Allen with no Mahomes or Lamar in the playoffs? No Joe Burrow in the playoffs?
You would think so, but the top teams, tell me if you thought that these were going to be the top teams going into the season. The Denver Broncos, the New England Patriots, and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right. I did not expect that, John.
Jacksonville is a 13-4 team. With a new coach and a quarterback that hadn't proven anything until he started playing better this year in Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. So again, I would have preferred to be in the mix versus not be in the mix. But here we sit. And part of why we asked you guys how you feel about this is, okay, the Lions won a game. And for some people, it's as simple as you play to win, you win, winning is good, you beat a division rival, a win is good. But maybe you felt annoyed that, of course, once they're eliminated, you get that performance at the line of scrimmage, stopping the run and running the ball. Of course, we're mixing in zone with a higher frequency when the season's already eliminated. And maybe you're out there going, they screwed up their draft position winning that football game. So were you happy? Were you annoyed? Were you angry? Maybe you're just apathetic. You're like, it was weird. It was a Lions game where I didn't actually feel the investment that I felt the last few seasons. I just couldn't get up for that game. How did it leave you feeling? We'll get TJ Lang next, 97.1.